All right. Let's move on to agenda item 3, report by State Water Resources Control Board Liaison, Stephen Moore.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Young and honorable members of the board. Well, I have to say how much I appreciate the opportunity to be here during this testimonial to the importance of Roger Briggs and his leadership to this board, and to have his characteristics and really now legacy of leadership celebrated in very clear terms, both as an engineer and as a manager. It's inspiring to be here in my first meeting before you. And so I want to thank Roger personally. He's, from afar, has been a role model for people beyond Region 3. I want to make that very clear. When I had the opportunity to be liaison for this region, I considered it a great honor. I was thrilled with this opportunity. Just really briefly a little about myself. Yes, Region 2 is where I've done most of my work, but I grew up in Region 4. I had an address here in Region 3 for a little while. I own a cabin in Region 6. I went to school in Region 2. But, you know, maybe that's why I'm working for the state board now, is, you know, I really have the whole state in mind. And Central Coast region is an incredible place and such a diversity of issues that you deal with. And certainly want to thank you all for your volunteer service, as I can relate to that type of commitment. So thank you, and thank you to Fran for generously giving me this opportunity as well. When I do my liaison reports, I'll go over budget, recent issues the state board has dealt with, some issues that are pending, but probably can't get into too much detail, but just to let you know what's on the horizon. And then finally, a little legislative update to the extent there's anything to talk about. So first, budget, kind of, you know, the good news, bad news, like the bad news first, right? Let's get that out of the way with the budget. It's as you have heard that the Department of Finance considers the state to be, you know, in a continuing fiscal crisis. So for the state and the regional boards, addition of positions will continue to be limited and will generally be constrained to redirection of existing positions, and any kind of expansion of existing programs will be heavily scrutinized. That just is a given. You may have read or heard about, we're basically all taking generally a 5% pay cut. That includes at every level. And then depending on the union, the bargaining unit involved, there are different terms in terms of furlough programs, that sort of thing. But they didn't do the 38-hour work week. That was one of the options they were looking at. And, you know, not working Fridays everywhere. And that didn't fly. So it's one day a month, pretty much. So with that, I'll move on from budget. Recent state board activities. I got in at the 11th hour. One of my second board meeting was the septics policy, which affects Region 3. And those are the issues I'll cover, the ones where I see overlap with Region 3 issues. So the on-site wastewater treatment system policy, statewide policy, was adopted in our second June board meeting, culmination of over a decade of effort. And, you know, it was a difficult process, but the end policy is structured to allow flexibility at the local level while targeting improvements in areas that are either impaired or where TMDLs have been adopted. So there's a prioritization within the septics policy in terms of implementation to try to tier our approach to focus on the priority water quality improvement needs. And so, for instance, the TMDLs that are associated with nutrients and bacteria, for instance, those areas they receive more scrutiny in the implementation of what would be the WDR program, you know, or a delegation to local agencies, which is typically, you know, the way things are done, certainly in my experience in Region 2. But, I learned through this process, as I learn very quickly, or I'm forced to learn quickly, the statewide issues have different dimensions than just in our specific regions. So septic policy was a real good lesson in that for me. Another thing in June was, it's kind of a small thing, but I think it matters. There was still some Prop 50 coastal non-point source funding, and you may have been briefed about, with the areas of special biological significance, the ASBS policy for discharge prohibitions out of the ocean plan. That's kind of hard for certain communities here in the Central Coast, like Pacific Grove or Carmel, which stormwater and discharges go into those areas, and how do you prohibit that? And so, as we do with basin plans, in the ocean plan, there's a way to get an exception to the discharge prohibition. And as part of that, there are monitoring requirements, but monitoring isn't free. And so what we did in June was authorize these Prop 50 funds to be used by local entities to help fund their monitoring efforts to comply with the ASBS prohibition exception. Other issues that are queued up. Right now, stormwater is very active at the state water board level. There's the four general permits where we're doing different things and covering different areas. And you've probably been briefed by Fran about this. There's a little bit of a staggered timeline. But what the Caltrans MS4 general NPDES permit, the comment period just closed on the second draft of that in 2 years. So, and then we also have what's very important, I would guess, for this regional board would be the Phase 2 MS4 permit. And that covers communities from 10,000 to 100,000 population generally, as well as other large facilities. And there was a workshop held that you might know about in San Luis Obispo a couple weeks ago. And there's some ASBS provisions within that permit that affect the stakeholders in this region. And so the comment period ends on July 23rd for that important statewide general NPDES permit for stormwater from urban runoff. And the third big stormwater permit is the general industrial permit from industrial sites, stormwater runoff from industrial sites. And, the original permit was issued in 1997. So there have been several iterations, and the latest draft is not on the street yet. We'd say it's imminent. And then we'll go through a comment process on that. And that would be the second or third, well, certainly second iteration in a couple of years. So that's three, right? Got Caltrans, Phase 2 MS4, and industrial. And then the general construction stormwater permit is actually on our agenda next week, where we're making minor changes to it. It was adopted in 2009, and it changed the way we manage runoff from construction sites statewide. And there was a minor change where there was a court decision at the end of last year about numeric effluent limits for runoff from high-risk sites. And so those are to be removed, but it's a very narrow action in terms of how the permit's changed. So we're considering that, responding to the court order next week. So there's a lot of things going on that affect the Central Coast that I hope this isn't going too long. But the Surface Water Ambient Monitoring Program, SWAMP, which I happen to know the history that the Central Coast did a lot of sort of formative work on ambient monitoring that influenced the ultimate surface water ambient monitoring program with the CCAMP program that you run. I know a lot of that history. And there was a recent report from SWAMP about the level of contaminants in fish in coastal areas. And that was released recently. And so I encourage the board and staff to review that, because the state board's hope is this will help with prioritization of areas for in need of further study support development of consumption guidelines for sport fish, and provide information to the public so they're better informed about the level of contaminants in sport fish in the popular fishing areas in the region. So there's a real connection of that effort to this region. Well, and then if you've been reading Tom Howard's executive director report, which I know Roger has encouraged board members to do, and I do too, and it covers a lot of these issues. A couple of the important issues for this region are the recent nitrate contamination and groundwater workshop that was held. It was a state board workshop on May 23rd, and we received a lot of input on a report that was required by state law, SBX 21. And there was the pilot study here in the Salinas Valley, as well as in the Tulare Lake Basin. And there's a 1,300-page report that the State Board had UC Davis complete, and they presented that at this workshop. And so that's an ongoing dialogue discussion about that report. That's all on the website, the State Board's website. And then another legislative report is the AB 2222, communities that rely on contaminated groundwater. So this has a relationship to the nitrate issue. It was a kind of a companion type effort for communities that rely on contaminated groundwater. The original assembly bill was in 2008. This was a report we invited comments on up till about April 2nd. And staff is now in the process of evaluating the comments that we've received on this report and may propose changes to the draft based on the input we've received. So this is still an ongoing process where input is encouraged. And then there's an item on your agenda today, the desalination policy that the State Board is, staff are working on with a lot of expert input. We have three different expert panels that have produced reports, at least two out of the three. They're available on our website on the program page for desalination. That's a real important connection with the region and the state. And there's a chance, it's either we had a workshop scheduled for June 6th that was postponed. There's a chance we may do that in our second August workshop, which would be the 22nd. That's not set in stone at this point. But it's tentatively being considered for August 22nd, the desalination policy workshop. And then quickly on a couple of legislative items. The Assembly Bill 2398 was a recycled water bill. I'm not sure if you've been briefed on that at all or read about it. This was a pretty major bill about recycled water. The bill's authors, their intent is to try to cast recycled water more as a resource, less of a waste, in terms of trying to encourage its use, to give it a better public perception. Of course, the devil's in the details. It's a matter of migrating some of the authorities from Port of Cologne to the public health code. These are some of the details that they're being worked through. It's been pulled, and I think there'll be more work on this in the fall. But it's something that we should be watching. And it's AB 2398. And finally, as far as legislation, I'm sure there's a lot of interest on the how Port of Cologne changed a couple weeks ago in terms of the regional boards, how many regional board members are going to be on regional boards from this point forward, according to state law. And what are some of the changes that accompanied that? Really, to boil it down, regional boards had 9 members, and now they will have 7. I think one of the main, benefits of this is that it's easier to attain quorums, or quora, or whatever the plural is, so that the outcome will be that 4 present board members on either for a board meeting or for a specific board item will constitute a quorum. Four will be a quorum now instead of five. That should have the result of having going forward more board meetings and being able to consider more board items in a more timely fashion. I think that's one of the outcomes. It does, to look at the whole statewide system of nine regions in the state board, it reduces the number of appointments from 86 appointments to 68. So I think the folks in the governor's office still think that's a lot, but that's some improvement maybe from their perspective. There are three other wrinkles to it. That's kind of the largest issue, but the appointment categories for each board member, which you see in today's agenda, after each board member there's an appointment category, they've more or less been abolished. But the new Water Code Section 13201, I would say, recasts these category areas as general bases for appointments. So those type of credentials still come to bear. This will make it easier to get qualified candidates. Let's say that maybe you had three or four people with a water quality background in your area that could serve. Before, we only had two slots per region for water quality. So it just expands the pool of potential candidates for appointment in that regard. It also recognizes that there should be a balance of public and private sector experience. Key economic sectors that are within a region are mentioned in the new statute. And one member is still a public at-large member, as was the case before. And then there are two other issues. The Political Reform Act is now the sole statutory basis for determining conflict of interest. That's kind of a minor detail, but it does simplify the conflict of interest procedure. And the 10% rule about getting 10% of your income from NPDES permit or permittee, there has been a quote-unquote relaxation of that requirement insofar as you can have, an individual can have a 10% of their income come from outside of the region where they serve. So, I don't know, as a hypothetical, if you worked for LA, department, the wastewater department, you could still serve on the regional board here, that kind of thing. So, with that, I'm happy to take any questions. A lot going on. Somebody has mail. but thank you for your patience. There's a lot going on.
With the septic tank policy, is that going to become a regulation?
Yes, it is a regulation.
It is. It went through OAL?
That's right.
It's going to go through
Good point.
OAL.
Yes, right. Great. It doesn't have to be approved by EPA, per se.
No, okay.
That's right. So it has to be approved by OAL. But it does take on the sort of the stature of a statewide plan,
right,
being a statewide policy.
Okay. All right. Any board questions or comments for Mr. Moore? Thank you very much.
Thank you. I wanted to invite Fran Spivey-Weber real briefly.
Well, Fran, he did a very good job, wouldn't you say?
You, as you can tell, you're in very good hands.
Yes.
And you have the advantage now of essentially having two liaisons, because when Steve can't come or if there's some problem, I am more than happy to step in, because I really, really enjoy working with each and every one of you and have enjoyed working with Roger. Look forward to working with Roger in his retirement capacity. I think we can figure out some things that he needs to do to help us. And I haven't talked to him about those things yet, but I'm just sure he'll go along with it. So I just absolutely do call on me if you need to, and I will be staying in touch with Steve to see kind of how things are going. And when I can, if I can, I will plan to come back. I want to make sure that all of you have on your calendar November 1st and 2nd. That's going to be the WQCC dates, the Water Quality Coordinating Committee dates, when all the regional board members get together and discuss various and sundry things. And meet with the attorneys at this, more attorneys at the state board, And we are looking at a field trip that's totally optional. Well, all of it's optional, but a field trip on the Wednesday on Halloween on October 31st in the Delta. For those of you who are interested in seeing what's going on in the Delta, and some of what we'll have in the program will be Delta related as well. So be sure and put that on your agenda. The State Board has funding that will pay for your hotel, and you'll have normal per diem type coverage. So I hope you will take advantage of it. I think everybody learns from it, those who've been around forever and those who are brand new, because there are new people in the administration that you'll get to meet, and so it's very, very important. And finally, I want to thank Roger again. I think he's been just fabulous. And I think he is a template. I do think you've got to strive to find someone who has that demeanor and has that broad and appreciation of how to work at a regional level. Because increasingly, and permit on septics is an example. Increasingly, I think the State Board is going to be relying on the regions setting statewide standards, but having more and more regional control over how those standards are implemented, monitored, and enforced. And so I see just a growing role for regional boards in statewide policies, in implementing statewide policies. So that's very good. And just finally, Monica, thank you for coming to the workshop on the nitrate report. It was an interesting workshop because it was not just the State Board members who were on the dais, but two representatives from two regions, from Region 5 and from Region 3. Monica represented Region 3. Michael was there for as staff, and then we also had representatives from the Department of Public Health and the Agriculture DFA, Department of Food and Agriculture. And I think that portends the future direction that we're going in as well. The issues that we deal with are too complex for one organization. We're going to have to work with all the other agencies, federal, state, and local. And so it's an exciting time to be part of the Water Board system, and I look forward to working with you wherever I am. Thank you.
Thank you, Fran.
Yeah, if I could just add a brief comment. I really want to thank State Board for inviting the regions to participate, and it was especially important that the structure of that workshop was actually organized in stakeholder panels so that we had a really good opportunity to hear some organized discussion on these issues, because of course the social equity, social justice dimension of this is really becoming better defined through a stakeholder-based effort, and has, I think, helped to fill in the picture, and hopefully will strengthen that collaboration with public health issues and using the combined authorities that we have and the combined resources that we have to take action. So, Dr. Harder's presentation and his report to the State Board is kind of the basis for now looking at this more closely. So I'm delighted, and I have continued to participate, and I'm now on Working Group 3 looking at outreach to disadvantaged communities. And so I will continue to report to this board and continue my efforts in support of that.
Okay. Let's move on to agenda item 4. Thank you both for your reports, by the way, and your comments.